Chapter 10, Navigation. How will you stay on an even keel? Not so long ago, entrepreneurs had difficulty conceiving of running a company with other people, unless they shared office space with them and saw them every working day. Unless, of course, the business was a huge professional practice. Today, I know of small enterprises where the partners have never met in person. And possibly, they never will. Yet, their businesses prosper. I can think of Shelley Gore and Christina Gage, who co-founded the website MillionaireWomen.com, while one lived in Connecticut and the other in California. Or how about author and consultant Nikki Lee? She runs a book promo business out of Virginia and has several partners elsewhere in the U.S. and Canada. In 2006, she founded Reader's Station with partners in the U.S., the U.K., and Australia. They probably wouldn't even know each other if they passed in the street, but they're in touch nearly every day. Nikki explained, "I created a private Yahoo message board, and we each post updates for the partnership as needed. 21st century communications, email, video calls, and instant messaging have all made this possible. No doubt, we can expect to see more of this." These widely dispersed partnerships only work because they utilize instant or near-instant communication. We can now hold virtual meetings from our homes, shift documents around in real time. In practical terms, there's little difference between this and sitting around the boardroom table. Except, we can wear our bunny slippers, and we have to make our own coffee. Whether we're talking about virtual relationships or more conventional shared office partnerships, you can't have a business without good interpersonal communication. Period. I can't stress that strongly enough. A partnership will only work if the partners keep in touch. By that, I don't just mean making the occasional cell phone call when one of you is away on business. I mean keeping all available channels open at all times. Again, I'm speaking from personal experience here. One of my partnerships that started off well ultimately floundered because, among other reasons, we let communication slide. It's easy to do. It happens imperceptibly, to the point where you think you're actually still communicating. You feel comfortable with each other, you're both really busy, you've got a good idea of what the other is up to, and why rock the boat by raising that little problem with your partner that's sort of been playing in the back of your mind? And then over time, you realize that silence rules. That's its own message. You're not talking about things you should be discussing. A partnership is a living, dynamic thing. You have to nurture and encourage it. That can't happen when communication falters. Same thing happens with marriage. That's where you need to make time to talk. In the fast-paced world of business, partners constantly risk drifting apart. They're so busy, focused on the day-to-day demands of managing. They find it hard to step away to reflect on the business and its growth, or lack thereof. You must do this. You must make time to communicate. Many partners will schedule regular meetings and promise to make that time sacrosanct, whether it's a conference call or face-to-face meeting or both. This forces business partners to make internal communication a priority. As an added benefit, it prevents dire issues from festering for lack of an airing. Check with your prospective partners to see which style suits them. Some entrepreneurs bring their own cultural baggage, where it can be insulting to have to schedule a call with a business partner, rather than just assuming that one would be available to speak with them when needed. Both the timing and the manner of communication can build or demolish partnerships. Business owners can get so caught up in making fast decisions that they levy criticism just as directly and just as quickly. Don't expect a warm reception for a cutting remark like, "You're not pulling your weight." It has the same effect as taking a jousting pole and aiming it at your partner's chest. In turn, your partner will probably not care to listen to your underlying concerns and will instead focus on ways she can defend herself. She's not only formulating a response, she's coming up with a laundry list of your faults that she's held back until now. This is particularly pertinent when you have to deliver a difficult message, such as a genuine desire to buy out a partner who really isn't pulling her weight. If you know your style tends toward the abrupt, you may want to enlist the help of a partnership consultant or other mediator to get coaching on how to have that conversation. Or read a book like Difficult Conversations. That's actually the title of it. Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most. It was written by Douglas Stone, among others. You can avoid communication tit-for-tats by understanding each other's communication styles. You may have to take the trial and error route until you get it right, but if you can approach this in a spirit of learning and accommodation, you'll go a long way to solidifying your business relationship. This also provides an important key to understanding how your decisions will be made and conflicts resolved. Here are some questions to explore with your prospective partner. How would you characterize your communication style? Are you open or more reserved? How do you feel about criticism, both voicing it and receiving it? How often would you need or want to communicate with each other about what's going on in the business? Throughout the day, daily, weekly? What's best for you? Do you prefer to discuss things informally or to have an agenda to give yourselves time to think it through? How will you communicate if you're in different time zones or even different countries? Are you comfortable talking about big issues like trust, confidentiality, fairness, and money? Beyond this, you'll want to revisit the issues in your partnership agreement from time to time. So you need to maintain and strengthen your channels of communication. Once you have a written partnership agreement, you want it to work for you. Don't even think about putting it on the shelf, hoping you never need it, and then only dusting it off when the alarm bells start to ring. If you do that, you may discover that circumstances have changed and aspects of the agreement no longer apply, or that they may be disputed in the ensuing breakup. Communication case study. How to deliver a good morning greeting with a bucket of acid. You may have had that experience with a colleague. You come in Monday morning, offer a pleasant, "Good morning, how was your weekend?" and get a grunt in response, or a dismissive shrug of the shoulders. When you try to find out what's wrong, you're met with the frustratingly vague, "Nothing." As unpleasant as that is with a colleague, it's even more disheartening with a business partner. After all, this is the person with whom you had planned to stand shoulder to shoulder as your company grew. This happened to Jim and Clarice, owners of a small marketing strategy and advertising firm. At first, they saw eye to eye on the company's direction. Clarice, in particular, enjoyed the open, multidisciplinary collaboration on client issues. But as the company grew, it started to take on characteristics of a more traditional advertising company with distinct departmental silos. That, coupled with Jim's more relaxed attitude towards serving the clients, acted like an irritating thorn in Clarice's foot. To try to move things back to the way they were, Clarice became more controlling and, well, bossy, a style that only inspired Jim to become more passive-aggressive. They lost their common language for communication, and with it, they lost their desire to communicate with each other. Soon, their only communications were heated exchanges between their attorneys, while they dissolved the business to move in different directions. How does this affect you? As you embark on your business with your partner or partners, give some thought to how you'll want to make sure you continue to be in sync and how you'll have those discussions. Whether it's the goals for the company, financial matters, or whether one of you isn't meeting expectations, How you talk about it can make all the difference between whether it's a problem solved or a crisis erupting. That ties in with raising concerns. Combined with an operational plan, your partnership agreement provides you with a superb set of references about how you run your business. These documents also show you how to avoid the pitfalls. In addition to any informal communications or feedback process you set up, agree to a regularly scheduled meeting to discuss performance, the equivalent of a board meeting. Plus, at least every couple of years, you should review your partnership agreement to decide if any past events or the passage of time call for any changes. You might also use this opportunity for an open two-way process where the agenda specifically allows you to raise concerns about your partner in a constructive way. If you've maintained a good dialogue over the years, there will probably be little or nothing to discuss. If this has slipped through the cracks, this provides an opportunity to get back on track. This can be an uncomfortable process. You'll accomplish it far more successfully if a third-party facilitator helps you through it. This book is another useful tool. Work your way through some of the chapters again to gauge if you have issues or if your respective positions have changed. In any case, you should certainly review your business goals at least once a year. Finally, an important caution about communication. It's not just about speaking. In fact, I'd say it's two-thirds about listening and tuning in to your partner. Or, as a Greek philosopher said, we have two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. Your partnership agreement discussions will give you perfect opportunities to exercise your listening muscles. Set a simple rule: you may not talk while the other is speaking. This takes iron discipline. Clamp your hand over your mouth if you have to. Find duct tape. Bite your tongue. Do not interrupt. Second rule: it doesn't count as listening if your mouth is shut while your mind is moving. You know what I mean. You've suddenly noticed a butterfly-shaped water stain on the wall. Or you're formulating your response to something your partner said 3 minutes ago and trying it on for size in your head. Make it your intention to pay attention. If you really tune in, you will not only hear what your partner is saying, but also catch the nuances in the way he presents his points. When you listen intently and intentionally, you can identify the issues you've been avoiding but now need to address. As management guru Peter Drucker says, the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't being said. Listening is an art. It's your time to become an artist. To summarize, good communication is the bedrock of successful business relationships. Develop a schedule for informal and formal meetings so that you can review business performance, strategy, and the partnership agreement itself. The best communicators know how to listen. Your action steps. If you're a good talker, that is to say, you enjoy hearing your voice and opinions, go on, be honest. Attend a business or public meeting and say nothing. Just listen. If you tend to be a listener, do the opposite. Go to a meeting and make your voice heard.